You're listening to Ignite Your Success, a podcast that inspires fitness professionals to build a strong business that enables them to serve more people and engineer the lifestyle they desire. It's Brad Shepherd here, and together with Jason Yabanowicz, we're best known for running Trainer HQ, a community of passionate and profit-hungry fitness business owners that make a massive difference in others' lives every day. Each episode, we'll unpack for you exactly what's working and deliver best practice strategies so you can confidently grow your business and make a huge impact.
All right, today I am joined by two absolute legends. And it's a great pleasure and honour to introduce. I like saying that, Mon and John, or John and Jono and Mono. I actually like saying that.
Monjo.
From Off Tap Fitness. Now, I'm going to paint the picture for you. When we met, was it back in 2016 or 17?
I think it was 16.
I thought it was 16. Yeah. And it was quite an interesting story because we used to travel quite a bit back then, doing seminars, Sydney, Melbourne, and we used to fly Virgin, which your mum
worked for. Yeah.
And we had our shirts on, and your mum asked us one time, because she must have checked us in there, like every time we were there, your mum seemed to be there. She said, what do you guys do? And we were telling her, she goes, oh, my son's just become, I think you're just qualified, yeah, mate, at that stage. And we said, okay, cool. And we were working your mum to try to get your details, and she wasn't having a bar of it. So she goes, oh, look, you give us your details, and I'll pass them on. And we said, look, we'll do better than that. And we gave your mum a copy of our book at the time. And then I think it was a little while later that we somehow connected. Can you remember?
Yeah, it came down to that. I think it was a Chermside one. Chermside speaker, I think he did 2 days. Yeah. Came for the first day and I was like, all right. Yeah.
But you must have gone onto our database somehow, because your mum definitely didn't give us your details, I think.
Nah. I think I started following and everything, and then yeah, started doing like little, seeing what it's about. I'm like, yeah, where are we going then? And I was already at the gym doing PT, and I was like, by the end of it, I was like, oh, I'm gonna go check this out. And then after that, I was like, oh, I'll make it work.
And okay, well, let's start on that. So 2016, we'd met your mum. That was the intro. You started following us, newly qualified. Tell us about your experience going into the industry in terms of what did you have to go through? What were your challenges, struggles? What was it like?
I think I came out in student 2013. I ended up getting signed into a gym in the city. So I think I just wasted 2 years there because it was just in and out in a party work kind of environment.
Yeah.
And then I had some time away and then came back, and I believe, yeah, from 2016, landed a job in Anytime Fitness Clontarf.
How old were you then?
I think it was 16.
Eight years ago,
22.
22, yeah. Okay, so 22, right? Yeah,
22. I didn't know, like, piss all. I think I was making more money than I knew what to do with. And then, to paint the picture, it was almost like I had like a shoebox money.
Oh, did you?
So I didn't know what to do. I was like, yeah, I'll keep all the money off. And it was like, eventually it got too much. And then my mom thought I was being sus. I had these buckets of money in my room.
She thought you were dealing drugs or something.
Yeah, yeah. And I looked like it. I was like, oh, maybe I should start using a bank. And then I think after after I did the seminar, I ended up jumping on. And I think the first thing the boys were saying to me is like, yeah, we've got to start putting it through the till. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I would take a shoebox to the bank. I would like, I'd give the lady the
money.
Yeah, yeah. I look red hot because I'd come in with my trainer gear and a bum bag and my sunnies. I'm like, oh, yeah, I just need like a receipt, mate. And
full,
then they're like,
shave,
yeah, full ass shave vibes. And then they give me the little piece of paper, like, oh, you'll need this. I'm like, oh, do I? Oh, sick. And I take that and I bring that to the accountant. I'm like, I don't know what it's for, but figure it out. Yeah, sweet. And then, yeah, it just took off from there.
Hearing that story, because I mean, I started 28 years ago in the industry, but I had the bum bag and I'd just collect the cash, you know, back then, no direct debit, none of that stuff. So, and I'd have this wad full of cash and I'd normally typically spend it all before, like, because back then I was selling packs, you know, like, yeah. So 20 packs and people give you up front and I'd fucking blow it, you know, and then I'd be waiting around for the next 4 weeks without any money, you know, because terrible with managing money and all that stuff, so I can relate. we'll come back to you. So, Mont, what was your experience getting into the industry? How long you been in the game for, and what was the process for you?
So I think I got into the industry.
Just move that closer so you can hear it. Don't block your view.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I got in the industry probably a little bit by accident.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I got introduced to Jono from someone at my old office that I used to work at when I was working like a normal 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Went to a boot camp. Ended up signing up with Jono. This is a very quick version.
Oh, so you—that's right. You actually become a client.
Yeah, right. Before, okay. Like, I hadn't even—like, I probably dabbled in a few gym classes.
Yeah.
I hadn't stepped foot in like an actual weights room, gotcha. Especially not on my own. So Jono hook, line, and sinkered me into being a client.
can sell.
Yeah.
You're not leaving the sales appointment.
Down below, if you want to learn.
And then from there, I was his first bodybuilding client.
Yeah. Right.
Kind of fell in love with, I guess, that whole process.
Yeah.
Then I started learning from there, did my Cert 3 and 4 sports nutrition course. And then I started coaching right before COVID lockdown.
Yeah. Right.
So, okay. Like, my first lot of clients, we ran a free challenge just to get some people on board, try it out. And that ended up being, like, I think halfway through was the lockdown. So
that was your intro.
I had to go online. Yep.
Yeah. So that catapulted you straight online. Probably you reckon sooner than what you would have, or
probably wouldn't have even thought about it.
Gotcha.
Like that quickly.
And on that note, you're both competitive bodybuilders, so obviously done both quite well. So what was your recent success? Tell everyone listening what's your titles and what you've won.
My most recent season is my third season. I have built up to it.
Yep.
But I was undefeated across the ICN Miss Fitness category.
Outstanding.
I won ICN Tropics, ICN Brisbane State Show, ICN Nationals. Yep. Got my pro card, won the overall there, and then also won the pro show.
You guys know what you're doing, don't you? And yourself, mate, you've competed for quite a while now too and hold a number of titles. So
always gives me shit on this one because it's so long ago. I think I've did maybe four seasons now. My highest achievement is probably my world champion title for novice rookie classic physique. And then coming into other seasons, the one that's just been recent, it's probably been maybe 3 years.
It was 2021.
2021 was the last one. I think I got like second at nationals for bodybuilding in the novice and fourth in the classic. And
awesome.
A bunch of other places.
And before we delve more into the business side of things, but you also have become you guys have been quite well known, you'd say, in that space and helping other people get prepped and ready for shows.
I like to think so,
yeah. Well, from what I've seen, it's definitely the case.
Does it for us.
Yeah, so that's excellent. Now, back to the business side of things, mate. The shoebox full of cash. We've got you out of that.
I think the biggest thing that it was, I kept umming about, I remember it was Tim Morgan. He was like, mate, we just need to get you onto this direct debit. I'm like, nah, I don't want to do it. It's fucked. And he's like, nah, just do it. Like, trust me. And I think within the first week, I ended up like pulling in like $3,500. So I was like, oh, that's not bad. And then it kept coming in every week after that. And then it just.
So, it was a while ago now, right? And I think now there are still probably a lot of trainers that may take money and maybe not in cash, but deposit into your bank accounts and things like that. But what was your experience, from that point onwards in terms of getting that money, I guess, in there automatically? What was the realization, or how did that help the business?
It was definitely realizing that it's working smarter, not harder. Yeah. When I tried to stay away from the cash side, I'd be like, oh, I'll do some cash and some direct debit, but it's like people would forget payments. They do the transfer and stuff. I wasn't a big fan of that because if I had to chase you up, it wasn't my flavor and I didn't want to be annoying with it. So I was like, cool, everyone's going to push over to here. And I think I kept like two clients out of my whole roster. And then everyone went straight to the direct debit, which then maybe bring in contracting, maybe bring in like service agreements. It was like real basic back then. And then by the end of it, like everything just flowed a lot easier. I didn't have to think about payments coming through. The direct debit service does all the claiming, all the upkeep and all that. And then I just somehow tied it in with the accountant, which then showed just like zero. So everything integrated itself. So it took a lot of the legwork in, and like I literally just do the sessions, make sure they turned up, click that they did it, and then Shazam.
Definitely more structure. And
oh, so much more.
Safety.
Safety, well, yeah.
Could you imagine?
No.
Mine's definitely. The accountant. The accountant. And what was your background before?
Finance, not accounting. Yeah. Like not high-end finance, just finance officer.
So if you were to join, like, and by the way, not only like business partners, but life partners as well. due to get married.
In March
2024. So there you go. Paint that picture as well. but yeah, the shoebox would have been quite a nightmare for you to walk into.
No, absolutely not. I can't even fathom. I don't even
want to
give it a thought.
It's an old habit. I can't get out of it. Well, now I have.
So when you started, if I remember correctly, you were making about $600 per week.
Yeah,
go back. And then the part where you switched over to direct debit, that must have been a year or so, was it, after being...
It picked up pretty quick because I think it just showed, like, the professionalism in that side as well, instead of like, oh, yeah, you know, it's all about the cash, and it's sort of like when people hear cash, it's sort of... Maybe not the dodgy, but it's sort of like, oh, you know, it's, you're still young or whatever. But I think once it switched over, it sort of showed, like, you're a bit more professional in that manner and it's sort of a lot more cleaner.
Yeah. So, I mean, my experience of you, especially when we first met, young, ambitious, you had plenty of drive. And I often say that's one thing we can't teach. You know, people got to have that drive, the right work ethic and attitude. It was just grooming, not grooming, so that's the right word. We weren't grooming him. Like, even though I'm 49, I definitely wasn't grooming him. But I guess it was more just learning about the fundamentals of business, right?
Yeah.
Because you had the drive and the work ethic, and that's what got you the clients, and you built up quite a good client base. It was just really how do you run the business? Yeah.
Because it was like I didn't have no business coaching prior to that. And it was like that's probably one of the biggest investments that I've did with the boys. And it was like I've been doing this for nearly over 10 years now. And I think the first 2 to 3 years I was sort of like just throwing spaghetti at the wall. Throwing it at the wall. And it's like it was, you know, hoping everything would just work itself out. And then, when we came on board, it was like, it's like trying to break your natural habit. I think making you uncomfortable, which sucked. But then it also bring me to level up. And I think every year that we do stuff, and as we are, you know, I've still been doing it since back in, on and off from 2016, which now brings us where we are now. And
I saw a video you guys did. Well, I think it was on your Instagram, off tap. And by the way, like I definitely recommend checking out these guys' Instagram at Off Tap. They do a great job. Their socials are excellent. But there was a video you did, and I think one of the questions the production team that do all your stuff for you asked you, what would you maybe advice you'd give your younger self? And I heard you say that I would have got some help earlier.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Definitely. Would have definitely... if I knew about this when I came out,
but the way you said it was quite funny, so you want to check out the video. It was quite funny. Come on, dickhead!
I'd full punch myself in the face for sure, and then do everything a little bit earlier instead of like, oh yeah, I can figure it out myself. I'm like, you don't know fucking shit, so just get in and do it with the guys that know.
And Mon, you've been on the team, and then we met you a couple of years ago, right? And this is your first experience too, at getting some kind of coaching or help. I think it's important for people to hear that a lot of people just go, I'll try to just figure it out on my own. And time's the one thing that I guess all of us, you know, want to maximize. So given that you've come in and you've done some work with us now as well, what's your experience been of doing it? Like say that you didn't have that and you just were in the business and having to go for it yourself without any help. What do you reckon the difference would have been?
Well, yeah, obviously it would have just taken a lot more time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's exactly how I felt when I first came in.
I remember.
Like just very overwhelmed. Like I guess when you're coming into a business that's your own.
Yeah.
From a business that has its own like policies and procedures.
Yeah.
And then this business has none.
Yeah.
or you kind of got to like figure it out.
Yeah.
So it was just really beneficial to have guidance, like accountability, make sure that like – things were getting done as well. That's just the baseline. What we got out of it was at least that, like, you know, we came to you. We had to check off we were doing the things. But then also just, being guided on how to do it as well.
Yeah, yeah. You're a super coachable. I remember at the start, it was like, yeah, right, okay, this is how you do that. And it is. It's like really,
breath of fresh air. It's like,
It's why people come and see you or see us as trainers, right? Or if you're doing a show, it's like you could go and figure that stuff out. But geez, you're going to make some mistakes.
Yeah,
and
take a bit longer.
Where you could have get someone who's already been there and done it.
It's definitely fast tracked.
It's fast tracked.
So the troubleshooting is always good as well. It's like we hit hit a snag, or we're like, fuck, I just don't know anything about this.
And yeah,
the boys always know what to do.
So. And so it's not like meant to come off as like, you know, if it's us or somebody else, you know, my advice is always like, look, get some help.
Yeah,
you know, if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because and it's hard to be successful by yourself. It's just like any good athlete or anybody who's been successful, they've had somebody to help them.
Coach, yeah, something.
Especially being scalable too. It was like I thought I could do it myself for a long time, and then eventually it gets to a point that you need to grow a team.
Yeah, and it's just smart. Mm. Like, it really is. So. That was the process. You started to get some more fundamentals, you know, understanding about how to run a business and scale the procedures.
Yep, yep. Definitely on that one.
And the journey now, I guess, if we look at what's changed from now, like from $600 to like cash full of, you know, money in a shoebox, to learning about procedures, you know, how to track your stats and figures. Yep. What's the reality now? Like, I mean, the last couple of years, you've had really significant growth. Mm. What's the business like now for you guys? Like,
well, definitely, we set out to always do better. We've never had like a bad year. I think the only time it ever went down was COVID. But even then, the sort of the shoebox came back out. So it's like,
and your probably expenses went down.
Yeah, everything went down, and then as we came back out, usually everyone would be like, oh, you know, COVID was bad, and so I don't think we've worked ever harder.
Yeah.
And then, and coming out of there, it's just made everything a lot easier. So we streamlined everything, and now it's like hitting big targets. Like we thought 8 was not possible, and then we went to 9s. Now we're pulling 10K weeks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and we do. I used to do six days a PT. And I do a boot camp on the Saturday, and then now I've squished everyone up into pretty much 2 days of PT, which is flat stick. I do pretty much all my PT over the week in 2 days, pretty much back to back.
This is the part I love the most, like, because the money's one bit, right? Because so it's really smart business operators go, how do they increase their revenue, but without just flogging themselves to death, you know?
Yeah.
And if that's what you love doing, great, you know. But here you're working 6 days a week. Boot camps, long hours, long days. And you loved it, really.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I can do it all day.
You're wired that way. Some people just would break them, but that was the part for you, right? Was the hardest part was more, how do I pull back and not do as much?
Yeah.
So
I'm only allowed a little bit of time or else Mon will get the shit.
and fair enough, you know, like it's very smart because, you know, so much other stuff you can do. But to hear that go, you're doing over 10K weeks now. You're doing less. You found a way to be smarter with your time, if you want to say it that way. Like, yeah, sure, cramming in 2 days, have more time. That allows you to grow and scale your business.
Like even Mons did the same thing. Like, you know, we were doing a couple of days. Now she's mainly online posing. It's pretty much the same. Like we did two. And then on top of that, like we have other coaches that are in par now. Like we've got Courtney also on a part-time. She's starting to, she's pretty much maxed out now as well. And then we got Rachel that's just come on board as well.
So two trainers, other trainers.
Yeah. And I was going to say shout out to those two girls because, like, I guess they
grind hard.
They're a big part of our team and reason why we've been able to have so much success as well. So,
Yeah, and you can help more people, you know, like, that's what I love about it is, like, a lot of our clients want to scale and grow. And, I mean, even at TrainHQ, we've got a team of 12 coaches now and, like everything we teach and pass on, then they can help others. So it's a cool thing to see, you know.
Yeah.
And mine, so you're like, you know, you're sort of more face-to-face. You do a bit of online as well, don't you?
Just a small bit.
So the model there is that you work out of a commercial gym at this stage, Anytime Fitness.
Yep.
And mind that you also split your time because you like the online probably more so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I like still having a little bit of face-to-face, but I do like helping people online as well.
Yeah, so I guess the thing is that hybrid model, there's that hybrid model that I think it's smart to have, that you can have the face-to-face. You know, I know myself when I was PT, like 2020 was probably the max face-to-face to do. Because I was trying to grow and scale and, you know, it was like I could work more, make more money, but it was going to impede like growing and scaling a team, all the rest of it. So I just like you got the opportunity to do online, and if your face-to-face clients can't make it, your online doesn't get affected.
So
it's very important. What's next for you guys now? So you've got the trainers on board, you've scaled up, you're making more income than you were before, working a little bit less in the business. What's next? Well, can you say or you can't say?
Yeah, we can. Yeah. It's pretty much like we're expanding into the South Bank location for Anytime Fitness as like a just growing our reach a little bit more, because we've pretty much started from Anytime Fitness Clontarf, which is pretty much at the back end of the north side, which now we sort of like monopolized, if you say, from the back of north side to the top of north side.
Yeah.
So getting into the city is just increasing our reach. So now we have, we'll have South Bank, the Virginia Club, and then we're trying to open up a club as well.
Yeah.
So you might be looking for trainers, more trainers, though.
Maybe, yeah. Well, I mean, we're in very early stages looking for our own facility.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's in par. We've got like a...
I'm just planting the seed. So someone's trying to watch this going, I'd love to work with these guys.
Like, we like trainers. We have to fit the brand as well. It's like, as much as everyone wants to, it's not like everyone likes money. If you get paid, you'll do a good job. But it's sort of like our thing is quality over quantity. And it's like, we won't grow bigger to saturate our brand. I would believe we were just speaking about it yesterday, and like a question popped up to make sure that, you know, I might have took it the wrong way, or I just missed it entirely. But it's sort of like, we make money, but it's also, you could ask any one of our clients, like, we will go above and beyond for anyone. And it's like, I've had people that have pulled up just before, and it's like, they've been with me for a very long time, and just because they pulled up, and you know, I'm willing to help people.
Yeah.
And like, I know our whole team is like that as well. We definitely help out.
Yeah, but you got a great culture, and you want to make sure that that gets, doesn't get diluted.
Mm. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Because anyone can throw a training program and nutrition and make money out of it, but it's sort of like, if your clients are leaving just as much as they're signing up, then it's a big, big red flag for you. And it's like, I know that our team, usually most of our clients go from a year plus and have been longer. So it's sort of like, that quality for us is something that we look for. So if you are a trainer out there and you do want to learn some cool shit, we do quite a big process in the lead up, but I don't believe we'll be looking for another one until at least the end of next year.
Yeah.
So you might have to beg these guys if you're like, because I always say, like, if someone's really good comes along, I'll find a position for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, rather than when you get there and you just take on who's there. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, we planned this thing, haven't we? there you go. So, here, I just want to recap. So, from when we met, 2016, that timeline, $600 a week, again, cash flow in a shoebox, getting sort of scaling and growing to the part now where you've got yourself, two team members, and you're doing over 10 grand per week while doing less. That's a fucking amazing achievement. And it's something that I think is really impressive. But I always stress to people, because I tell your story quite a bit to new clients who are coming on board, because I've got someone sitting in front of me who would just like to earn $1,500 a week. And I spoke to a lady yesterday, and she was freaking out, like, that fact that she could make maybe $2,000. She just couldn't get her head around it, right? And I show your story to go, well, here's an example of, like, when you started, you probably weren't sitting there going, oh, no. You know, 6 or 7 years later, I'll have four trainers, including myself. Yeah. I'll be doing 10.5 grand. You just go, I fucking need to sort out this direct debit stuff.
So
I say that because we're not one of these companies that go get rich quick. You've put the work in, you've done the work, you get rewarded, right? But if you were sitting down with somebody that said, look, you're currently making less than 1,000 in 5 or 6 years done properly, and you invest time and energy into yourself, personally, especially, you could be earning 10.5 grand a week. It's not a long time.
It actually you know what I mean? Quite like, quick. As much as everyone thinks it's like really hard. Like, I remember when the whole the 100K trainer thing came out, and was like, oh, if you put in the work, that's less. Like the old model was 100K under 20 hours a week.
Correct.
And I kept that, and then I started saying, oh, well, maybe I can do 200. And it's like, if you want to make more, you still have to keep that high value of service, because a lot of our people aren't coming in through ads and stuff. Like, it is referral. So it's like, and we've been around the game since 2016. So if you do the math from there, if your product and your service and your application is good, and of course your business coaching is strong, then you will be able to, like, the sky's the limit.
Yeah. And on the flip side, if you don't do anything in 5 years' time, and I've seen it, people are in exactly the same position, still struggling, struggling along, who have not invested the time, energy, money to be better in their business, you know. So it's an absolutely cool story. I've got a few questions I want to ask now that I've just prepared prior, and I'll ask both of you this. So I think, firstly, I always like this one, you know, potentially the biggest failure that you learned a really good valuable lesson from. So in business, something that you may have, like, you may have deemed as a failure, but in essence, it was the best teaching for you.
I still do it. And it was like, when I first came on, and the boys were like, oh, you know, you gotta hire slow and fire fast. I ended up went to go get my first trainer, and before anything was happening, like they wouldn't sign the contract and everything wasn't it like was taking a long time. And but before they even got into the business, they were already fucking me over. And it was sort of, this was a person that I've known for like 5-6 years and showed everything and gave all the trust that they could in the world. And it was probably the hardest thing to be like, oh, well, my business comes first over your preference. And I instantly, like, I disowned them. Wasn't on their accord, but they were actually taking from the clientele before they've even signed the contract. So it's pretty much like stealing, poaching, whatever you want to call it. We say hello. It's just pretty, it's mediated. Like, I still train a certain person of theirs. But, you know, that was a hard lesson, just to sort of, you know, if you let people within your business, need to be able to show them 100% trust. Like, if we bring someone into our business, you've already got the trust. It's up to you to keep it. And eventually, if you keep tinging the glass, you know, eventually we'll just say, look, it's time to go. And I think that was probably the hardest lesson, to make sure that you're hiring the right people that fit your criteria.
Love it. Yeah. Mon?
Well, as we kind of touched on, I got a bit fast-tracked into business and had a lot of very good mentors. So I guess my haven't really had many, like, big failures.
Sure.
But one of the biggest things I've had to overcome was, I guess, taking rejection personally.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Like, when I first started, if I lost a client, I would, like, freak out, I would stress, I would cry to Jono.
Yeah.
And then it was interesting seeing, like, I guess, our trainers go through similar feelings and then being able to comfort them through that.
It is definitely interesting when you get into business. I always say it's a really good personal development program, because there's just this different stuff, like sales, and people don't sign up, you feel like there's rejection. Is it me? What am I doing? I love it. They're great answers. So the next one I've got is, what's one thing, I guess, that your business provides you that maybe you didn't think about at the start that it would, you know? So the position you're in now, the work that you've done, what's one thing that you really like about being in business that it provides you with?
I think it's really cool that we're inspiring almost, and people look up to us. We can be role models.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's pretty special.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of knew that going into a job like this would have a bit more freedom than a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
So that's an obvious one. But I think being a role model to other people is like one that I didn't expect.
Yeah.
Like, would be so prevalent.
It's good. And I didn't expect you to say that either. but it is. It's one of the things I hear a lot of our people say, that the fact that someone might be even watching this too and going, wow, that's what's possible.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, if they can, I can. You know. So, yeah, that's cool. But the freedom and all that, yeah, it's definitely.
That's like
an
obvious one, I feel like.
Yeah. But that's cool too. Like, it is. Because some people feel, I've heard people use the expression, like, my business is my anchor, you know. I'm trapped by it, or I can't do things. Yeah,
no, I don't think so. Yeah.
So yeah. So you got yourself in a position where it's not that case.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Cool, mate.
I don't even know what I would be doing if I didn't do it. I did, like, the style. Like, I always think of it this way. It's like, I can't sit still. Fuck all. So if I can keep training, it's like, I like being in the gym. For me personally, the gym is like a safe zone. If I'm working out, then I'm staying out of trouble. When I'm left to my own accords, I'm a little bit of a wanderer.
I'm a bit like that.
Yeah. But it was like on the same thing with mine. It's like, there's always people watching, so it's, you know, I don't have to fake anything. It's just what you see is what you get in our thing anyway. So I think that would be just being able to be myself.
Yeah.
And not like, I don't really care if I get judged, or if you don't like it, then it's not for me. That's my sort of thing.
Yeah, it's cool. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, to hear you say, like, I'm not sure else what I'd do. I feel a bit like, well, I'm not sure else what I'd want to do, to be honest.
Yeah.
But what else I'd
I
be
doing. I love
doing
this. Like, yeah. I don't see myself like...
You don't feel like you work, do you? It doesn't feel like a job. Nah, it's not.
It's fun. Yeah. I'll wake up. I still do 3:30 sessions and I'm still having a blast. So, like, even 7:30, I'm still doing it. I don't know why, but I like it.
I feel like that's very uniquely Jono.
It's a unique... type of person. Yeah.
Like,
I can relate.
Like, I do love, I love it. But it's like almost like just Jono's life. Like, it's not a job. It's just Jono.
Jono's a good time looking for a place to happen.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's infectious though, you know.
Yeah.
I mean? I guess my next one is more business related as well. Going, what's one of your favorite, I guess, productivity hacks? Business. So I guess if someone's watching this, they might feel a bit consumed by the business. Have you got something that you've realized over the years that is something that helps your productivity or saves time, or it's something that's, I mean, maybe at the start didn't feel that way, but now it's made life easier?
Taking breaks is definitely one of them.
Yeah, okay.
Especially, like, you know, we're very busy right now with the comp season. On top of that, we've got, like our trainers, plus a new trainer starting, plus a new gym open. Like, there's a lot of shit on our plate. Knowing when to pull back is probably a good one as well. So, say, if there's heaps of stuff that you're getting smashed with and it feels like the world's closing in, just, like, just stop working on it for like, an hour, because I know that I work really good with pressure.
Yeah.
You know, Mon takes it sometimes in a different way. And it's like, oh, we need to do this. And like, no, let's just go do this and we'll come back and like clear your head out a little bit, because even when you think it's crashing down on you, like, oh, is that it? Or, you know, that's why it's important to have coaches as well, because like I've always had a coach and I think it's very unique in that bit, because the boys, you know, I always liaise with Jace or Brad or whoever's I'm with at that time, and I'll be like, hey, what do you think of this? It's like, oh, it's a weird move. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then move on, or I'll get like a piece of gold from them and they'll be like, oh, see, it wasn't that bad, was it?
Yeah.
Like, oh, thank God, fuck. No. But it's like having someone there to liaise with that's, you know, probably a lot more experienced in that area is just something that's good to bounce off. And I think that's a very important thing about.
I like that response, because I guess even when I wrote it down, I was thinking maybe it might be, you know, like not maybe not direct debit, but something that saves your time, you know, productivity. Mm. But really, that's what I'd say is a really in-depth emotional intelligence.
Mm.
You know, to have that ability to go, we actually need to have a break, and that's the best way to be more productive.
Yeah,
is important. Like putting time in for time out, holidays, things that if you're a small business owner, you can sometimes neglect.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, you know, been there myself, but I've heard a lot of trainers go, I haven't had a holiday in 5 years. Mm. And you burn out, you become less effective. So,
like, we enforce it now. And it's like, we at the end of the year, we always take 2 weeks off for Christmas and like New Year's. And everyone's like, oh, you know, January is coming. So now we're extending it to 3 weeks this week. And then, like, we still take stuff off during the year as well.
That's great. So. Yeah, it's excellent. What about you, Mike?
Mine was going to be like the cliche, have procedures.
I think it's good, but I think that's the other side of it. You definitely need it. Yeah,
because if you don't know what you're doing every time you do like onboarding, if you do a consult, like it's just going to give you a headache and you're going to go round in circles. So have solid procedures, something that you follow every time you do, you know, tasks that you do often.
And to be honest, like 99% of people when I first meet them about doing work with us is like, I need structure and systems.
Yeah.
You know, they go, why? Because I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed, it's just all on the fly, consistency, it's different every time. So all that stuff, it's why McDonald's can have 15-year-old pimply-faced kids running a multi-million business, because they've got great structures and systems and procedures in place. So, without it, it's fucking chaos. Well,
not only that, though, when you have it in place, you come across so much more professional.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, bang, 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 you know what you're doing.
Lynn just got a compliment. So one of them signed up, somebody just signed up just yesterday, and Lynn said they said to him, you guys got the best onboarding process, you know, so streamlined, you know, from how you do it. So that's an example of that.
Exactly.
You know, people, that's their first impression, right, of how they get introduced to your service.
Yeah, if you're doing a sales call and you're like,
we'll book you in here something. Yeah, good. all right, so I want to go more of a personal question for both of you now, and I like this one a little bit different. What's an insult that you've received that you're very proud of?
Oh, shit. I don't know.
I had one. It was I don't get
I
it
thought
much.
You might struggle with this, but yeah. I knew you.
Yeah. I don't get it much, and I get it a lot, but it was like it's always like we're overpriced or, you know, it was the same thing as the, you know, we're, I pride ourselves as a premium service because we do, we're a one-stop candy shop. And it's like, we do the program nutrition. We're always upskilling. Like, we've got diplomas in sports nutrition. Like, we've got the credibility to be able to say, look, I can deliver that process. Yeah. And a person will be in the session. They have no fucking clue what's going on. And they might think that, you know, you're Wall Street, or he was actually a engineer for a tech company. And he's like, oh yeah. And he's like, I got a rebuttal back to him. Like, he ripped me out this big, massive, like, reply, and I was like, oh, okay. And it's like, by the end of it, it's like, I can get my friend at the doctor's to do my nutrition, and I could probably build an app. And I was like, oh, okay. And I read him one back. Usually I don't bite to it, but I was like, oh, okay, cool. And it was like, you're just four times the trainer four times the amount of trainers as the guy down the road. I'm like, we'll fucking go down the road then, because the guy down the road is not going to give you the exact, all the stuff that he wanted fixed, I fixed in the first session. And it was like pretty much, okay, we're good. But it was like the guy down the road was doing five sessions a week and you still couldn't get the problem. So instantly there, I was like, okay, the trainer doesn't know what it is. So the difference between me and you, that you put me on this thing of like super expensive, but also I've said to you, like, I've been doing this for a decade.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like the light bulb analogy. I'm like, oh, you just put, it says 10 grand on the thing. And I was like, yeah, but I knew how to turn the light back on.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like that experience outweighed what that person wanted, but even if I gave you everything, you still think it's too much. I was like,
I'm on the right path.
I'll take it. And I was like, I understand it, but I was still gobsmacked because I was like, but I gave you everything you wanted.
But
I was like, oh, probably you're not made for us, because I'll do it to some other people. And instantly, and they'll be like, oh, I thought it'd be more.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, it's a package for a reason. Like, we could charge a bucket load more, but I don't think it's in the versatility of, we're happy with what we charge. We enforce it, and that's something that comes through here. It might not be everyone's a piece of tea, but it was like, we've got people ranging from mums to competitive athletes to corporate boxers, like all these people that value that service. So I'm like, one person is just going to just be a dickhead anyway. And I was like, could have just said no.
It's not for me.
Not for me. I'm like, sweet, mate, because I'm not coming to your work. And I was like, I looked it up, and I was like, if I wanted to be a dick, I'd be like, I make like 2-3 times what you do. So,
and there's insight. Well, yeah, if you're not thinking about business, but there's also things, you know, like, yeah, you're so rigid with your food, or you know, that kind of stuff. Where I take that as pride, you know, because I go, because I'm prepared to do what others aren't to get to where I want to be. You know, like people go, you get up at fucking 3:30 in the morning to go and train at fucking Redcliffe. I go, yeah, you're fucking lunatic. And I go, fucking thank you.
Yeah.
I love it. Because I take all that stuff as, I'm quite proud about it, because I go, that shows me in your character, you wouldn't be prepared to do what it takes to do it. And when I was learning to become a presenter, same thing. I'd be up at 3:30 and I'd be fucking learning the material, presenting to my couch. I had the most positive couch in the world. because I knew that other people weren't prepared to do that.
Yeah.
And as I was going through the course of learning, I was literally the only one who really went on to make it. So that's the kind of stuff that I was referring to, that, you know, it's kind of like people give me an insult, like they're kind of making you wrong
because
they make themselves feel a bit better, you know what I mean? And that's how I would view it, to go, well, yeah, that's why I'm here where I am, you know? It's easy for them to insult you to make themselves feel better, maybe, you know, along those lines. Mm. So I'm not sure that's jogged anything for you.
Probably no.
That's all right. All right, last one, and that is... a question that I haven't asked you in this interview that you wish I had, and how would you answer it?
What makes you say that? that is gold.
Well, you know, the classic would you rather. I feel like that question should come up in any podcast interview. Would you rather pizza or pasta? And I would have answered pasta.
There you go. Awesome.
No, I can't think of anything.
I love that. What makes you say that?
That's so cool.
That's so cool.
If you don't know, you'll know when you come here. And if you don't know, then don't worry.
Yeah, you want to find out what that actually means.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I know anyone who's watching this would have taken away great inspiration, like you said, and to see what's possible. So again, I recommend checking out these guys out on their Instagram, and I follow them, because they're, in my opinion, they're at the high level standard of our industry, and that's why we get people such as yourself on here, because our job really, Training HQ, is we want to raise the standard. We want to show that there's a better way and a more effective way, and you can really, you know, do great things in industry. Unfortunately, I think one of the misconceptions in our industry is it's still like that, you know, hobbyist kind of part-time, you're kind of half having a go. It's not really a proper business mentality.
Just to mentality. Add on that, we are full-time trainers.
This is how we pay our bills.
Yeah. This is how we bought a house. Like, this is how we do stuff. I think that's the biggest thing that people get crossed between. Oh, I do PT. I'm like, oh, cool. So how do you pay your bills? Oh, I'm a techie, or fucking labourer. So you're a labourer.
I kind of do it on the part side.
If you're going to do it full time, you do it full time. If you're going to do it part time, you're still umming and ahhing. It's like, then get out of the way and make room for the other people, because it's those people that we always get the stories from. Oh, you know, I've had a trainer. I'm like, you haven't had us.
Yeah.
And it was like, not to piss in our own pot, but it's sort of like, we do, we have the passion to get that stuff going for people, and it's like for having the immense amount of experience that we do have within our team. It's like we have different niches. If it doesn't work on that, that's probably the biggest thing that everyone needs to stay away from.
Yeah, it's just doing the work. It's like any business, you know, and the reality is if you do the work, it get rewarded. So, and again, another example of what's possible. You know, we could go on all that stuff about buying houses, holidays, and, you know, a high profit turnover, the whole bit, and that's the result of doing all the hard work and that you put in over the years. So congratulations. So awesome to have you both in. And, you know, make sure that if you're watching this on YouTube, you like, subscribe, comment on Spotify or any other platforms that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you share it to those people, you know, really find value in, you know, following along and getting the insights and education that they desire and deserve. All right. Thanks, gang.
Thank you.